getting more people in to work with Paul, getting the police more education about construction variants and construction ordinance, that sort of stuff. But today, what we need is Silent Sundays, not just for this variance, but for any future variances that come through for all of the future construction. That's what we need to just be able to live there and be healthy citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Questions for these three? Thank you all. Thank you. And then let's take the next group, please.
The next two are Mara Jess and Patty Kearns.
Okay. Hi, again. Saw you yesterday. Maura Jess. I live in the Pearl. I live in the Sitka, and I'm on the fifth floor on the north-facing wall between, looking over Overton between 11th and 12th. I'm 50 feet away from Block 17, and the workers are now about the fifth floor, so we wave. Hi, you know, it's pretty, I'm up close and personal with this whole thing. And I think if I didn't hear wrong, I'm sorry, Paul, but the Overton is actually one block north and west of the Sitka and two blocks south of the Ramona, and if that's repeating what was said, at least it's on the record, and if it's different, it's on the record. So I'm just going to, I don't want to belabor, I just will echo everything my neighbors have said. Pearl is clearly not industrial. And the change in the demographic, I think, alone is compelling. I think it should be considered in a lot of what's going on. And what is going on is an unprecedented growth. I mean, literally, we are completely surrounded with huge, big, large-scale development, which is, I'm learning a lot about this. It's the result of a recession for a while. Now the opportunity has come, so people are going for it, and that's great. I'm not anti-development, and I like seeing people working. I think these guys are working hard as well. Sometimes that comes up when you have issues around these things, is you're just saying, oh, you just don't want to develop, and that's just not true. We really just want to have the livability of this whole experience reflect the values of Portland. So I do think because of these situations, it is a health issue. And I also support the Sunday exemption, no construction on Sunday. And I agree that I think if more people were notified, and the notification process is very broken. It's so hard to get information, and so few of us are actually in the loop, even with our attempt at outreach to our neighbors. So we're not able to get that kind of information that would be helpful for you. But I think that Sunday also is just a good, clean, straightforward, traditional value that for the respite that we need from this. It's very stressful. It's been a very long, stressful time. So I have to see if I had one more point. Oh, I just want to... The variances that are based on expectation are dangerous to me. They're weak. And I know that they're not working because I know we're supposed to get notification of a concrete fill if it's going to come at 5 a.m. And we had one earlier this week, and I called my building. I said, did you get notification? And they said, no. So there's maybe an expectation that notification happened, but you're spending a lot of energy just making sure, and I think mostly it falls through the cracks. So I think relying on expectation may be not the greatest method. Okay. That's just, I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. We all hope your neighbor, Mary Sipes, doing okay. So.
She's improving. Yeah, she appreciates your good wishes.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for being here. Okay, let's take the next.
And that's all who signed up.
Okay. So now let's hear from the applicant. Someone's here on behalf of Anderson Construction, so come on up. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Brian Anthony. I'm a senior superintendent for Anderson Construction, and I am in charge of the Unico Overton apartment project for Anderson. I'm in charge of the safety, the production, and the quality of the job, and pretty much I'm handling the noise issues personally as the senior superintendent. So this is kind of new to me, as far as being in front of, you know, the council to explain a variance. So I kind of don't have a lot of defense, you know, or anything like that. So,
well, it's new to us too, as you heard. We don't do a lot of these cases. Maybe you could, if you wouldn't mind me interrupting you, sort of the point was made that you're working on other projects in the Pearl. Is it the case that you're asking for something different in this project than you are operating under in the other ones, and why would you need that difference?
Yeah, let me explain. You know, we're doing three projects in the same vicinity. I'm doing a 26-story high-rise. Each project, even though they're all with Anderson, are all individual projects, so mm-hmm. they're different. My project is a 30-foot excavation. And then I'm coming up out of the ground. Block 15 is starting at the ground and coming up, so they have a lot less noisy type of work. Now, we started the project, I believe it was August 6th, around that time, with the foundation or the excavation type work. So we had a variant. This variance that I have now covers concrete pours and heavy equipment moving in for cranes. And I'll explain that in a minute, but I did have other variances to bring in trucks to bring in the heavy equipment when we started. And the fact of that is we have to follow the travel restrictions on some of this equipment, that it's so large you can't travel bringing in this equipment during typical hours. They're called low boy flatbeds. Mm-hmm. So those rigs come in to the site early with the vehicle or the piece of equipment that is like a drill rig, a wide load. You've seen them before where they have the cars falling behind them. So that's one of the reasons why we have to start early, and which we did on the project to begin with. And I was a little confused when the appellate said we were we should have been working Sundays, but then he wanted Sundays off, so I was kind of confused. He said, you know, and his way, the way I understand what I asked for on this noise variance and what is typical for Saturdays and Sundays on this is the erection of tower cranes and the dismantling of tower cranes and the jumping of tower cranes. And the reason for that is safety of our people. We can't be erecting tower cranes during working hours unless we shut the entire job down. So typically Saturdays and Sundays, we don't have workers on the job. So that's why we use Saturdays and Sundays. Now I have 10 in here, and that's because I'm erecting a tower crane, I'm dismantling a tower crane, and I have two jumps. The tower crane is self-erecting tower crane, but I have to bring in another support crane to jump this crane. And so there's a lot of heavy equipment overhead work. Now, currently, I don't have that work scheduled on Saturdays and Sundays on my project. I do want to have that available in case things change, because there's a lot of things that impact the project. There's 8,000 activities to build a high-rise, over 8,000 activities on my schedule. Mechanical failures impact the schedule. Weather delays impact the schedule. I put together a little, I don't know if you've got a copy mm-hmm. of this.
Yeah.
So just so you see some of the parameters of what we're up against, the sunrise during different times during the year, the sunset.
And why does that matter? Because why can't you just put lights up?
Well, because we like to start and get the full benefit of, you know, daylight hours rather than putting lights. Lights happen to, like, impact the neighbors also when you put lights up in the dark, goes into their windows, and that's disruptive to them also. But another thing is we work around our normal straight time hours from 7 to 3:30. So when we do concrete pours, like I off to the left, you can see how a small concrete pour, we set up at 6 so that we're ready to go by 7 o'clock. You have to set up the pump truck, bring the hoses out, prime the pump. Now you're ready. You pump 6 hours. You finish. The finishers always are 2-3 hours behind the pour. Then you have to cover the slab. whether it's for curing or it's weather to keep it warm. There's blankets that get put on there. So you can see we finish at 1600 right before dark. In the winter time, like in January, you can see we want to get done before sunset. Sunset happens around 1630. So we kind of make sure that we try to finish before that time. On the big pours like I'm going to have, and Paul and I worked very closely together. It took about 8 weeks to get this narrowed down, and it's according to the schedule. I gave him exact numbers of how many pours that I had that were small pours that I needed to start at 6. And then I needed to start at 7 on the very large pours. Those take 10 hours to pour. An hour to set up, 10 hours to pour, 2 hours to finish, an hour to cover. That's 14 hours. Those are the variances that I have in my request. And Sundays, as I said, I don't plan on working any Sundays. My crane erections are going to be during normal working hours, and I've planned that out. Now, like I said, a lot of other jobs will plan that for Saturday and Sunday. I haven't worked any Sundays.
So these Sundays are just a reserve for you, really?
Sundays are a reserve for me right now. I don't plan on working any Sundays. However, things change, and they have changed on this job so far, where if I have, like I had a mechanical failure, where my track hoe that was exporting soil, the engine blew up. Now I can't wait for Sunday to get a new track hoe in there. I have to get it in there the next day. So that's what we did. I notified every apartment complex within two blocks, as was in my variance. I never received a phone call from any resident asking me any questions. I'm available 24 hours a day. I haven't received any phone calls asking me for any information. I have contact numbers and emails for every building. It would be the building management for each one of those buildings, including the Ramona, including the Sitka. I have a log that I keep, according to this, of when I notify them. I notify Kathy every time I know that I'm going to be working before 7 or, after my variance. I've notified everyone according to this variance. So I'm kind of, I've been following this strictly. I take personal responsibility to make sure that we do things right and notify everyone. And if I'm notifying the wrong people or I need to add people, I'm certainly have no issues, even with all the folks here, getting their emails and giving them direct information, which I'm sure they would be more than happy to receive. I have no problem adding them to that list, very easy, and keeping them informed. So I hope this helps a little bit. I mean, you could see that some of the variables, that we're up against.
I have a question, and for someone that hasn't been before council before, you're doing a great job laying out and giving us the necessary information. So one of the concerns that I hear is some residents saying this is a one-year variance, and on 10 different Sundays, randomly selected, something's going to happen. I'm going to ask you to push back, I'm trying to think of an analogy. It'd be like, I suppose, being told that over the next year there could be 10 concerts in the park next to my home,
street festival.
Yeah. But we're going to decide when, and gosh, my reaction might be, well, that might be a Sunday I choose to go to Mount Hood, or too bad, that's the Sunday I was hoping to sleep in because I was working late, the double shift that night or whatever. So part of it, I hear, is a question of predictability. And you obviously need flexibility because you're doing something incredible. You're building a high rise. And the neighbors have said they wanted some predictability. How might we reconcile those two?
Well, like I said, as the times draw near to these particular activities, that's when the notice can go out if that's going to be used. Typically, a crane, erection or dismantle, I have to know that, within at least 2 weeks of when it comes, at least 2 weeks before it happens, because there's so much coordination between support cranes and traffic control, you know, and everything like that. So it's not something that I'm gonna spring on them, you know, the next day or anything.
So there is an issue that there is an ability to give it a more refined notice a couple weeks out.
Yep.
That's one issue. Yep. Number two, sir, the variance gives you the authority or the option of working between 9 and 5 on Sunday. Yeah. Why do you need an 8-hour window to do what you've described as a very specific task of you know, setting up or taking down a crane?
Oh, usually it takes 5 to 6 hours to set up the crane, and then it takes a full day into the night actually to erect the crane or dismantle so the tower crane itself. And then the next day, the support crane gets dismantled. So it's a two-day event.
You said you're not planning to do that.
Currently, I'm not planning on it. But as I said before, if for some reason the crane erection shifts, then it comes up to be close to the erection time, and I have to go through a process of getting a noise variance that, you know, like I said, I worked weeks to get this. I want to be able to, you know, get the work done and not be delayed any further by trying to get a noise variance.
The neighbors are not complaining about the early morning hours or the late evening hours. They're simply asking for certainty that Sundays will be off. Is that unreasonable?
Well, I mean, like I just described, if something were to happen and it delay my schedule because I didn't have a noise variance in time, that would be a pretty impactive event for my company and our project and the owner. So, I mean, I'm not making the rules. I'm just trying to follow what I have approved already in front of me. And
you raised two issues. One is a question of safety when you set up and take down a crane. So for safety reasons, you like to do it when there's no other workers at the site, correct?
Right, yeah.
And you also indicated that there were some challenges actually transporting the equipment there. And we're familiar with that on the weekends where streets close down and they're choosing that to put a HVAC on top of a building or a sign or something. Are you unable to transport that heavy equipment during Monday through Friday, or are there additional safety challenges of transporting that equipment Monday through Friday?
No, there's no. You can transport the equipment. Obviously, it's going to be early hours. It's going to be before 5 when you get that equipment there.
I mean, that's because ODOT doesn't allow you to move it after that?
Yes, right, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there is that.
Yeah, so there's that, but you know, there's no reason why you can't do the work on a weekday. And I have mine scheduled. And forgive me, but if I didn't know it was all about Sunday work, I would have brought my schedule, you know, and I could have told you exactly the days that are very close to what I forecast as being these days. I have this on my schedule, but it's not locked in 100% at this point, right? It's almost a placeholder kind of in the vicinity of when that work's supposed to take place and stuff like that. So
how many you're a month and a half into this variance. I'm not trying to pin you down and hold you to this, but your current guesstimate is that you will invoke this variance on how many Sundays over the next 11 months?
As I said, I don't plan on working any Sundays. We don't want to work Sundays. No one ever wants to work Sundays. Never. I rarely even work Sundays. It has to be.
But you have the option of doing 10. I mean, you've been given the latitude to do 10. The neighbors are concerned about that. You're saying you don't want to work on a Sunday. So there might actually be some give and take here. How many Sundays are you likely to need to reserve between now and the end of the variance?
Well, my first tower crane set is December 2nd. That's a Tuesday, so I know that's going to minus one. Yeah. I won't need it there. You know, I don't know off the top of my head. Like I said, I would have brought my schedule, and I could have answered those exact dates right now. But what would
be the impact on you? And we're mindful that you're moving a complex transaction with lots of moving pieces. So what would be the impact on you if we were to scale this back so that it wasn't, 10, but we said 4, 5.
Well, the other ones, there was a couple, like I said, there was 4 of them. Two of them, one was to erect the tower crane, one is to dismantle the tower crane. The other one, two were to jump the tower cranes twice. The other ones were the man and material hoist that has to be set up, and the man and material hoist has to be jumped up every, like, two floors. So whether that's the question right there, I know that my tower crane is going to be, right now, is scheduled to be set up on a Tuesday. And so the man and material hoist, whether I can do that, you know, on straight time, I would have to go and look. But, you know,
if we scaled it back, I'm just trying to get a sense of how this impacts your business. If this was scaled back so there were only five that were allowed in this variance, and you had to give 2 weeks' notice to the neighbors of your intent to use a Sunday, does that impose undue hardship on you in terms of
on my project? I could get away with that. I think. I mean, I didn't. It wasn't that I went in to, like, say I need 10 Sundays. This was in part of the variance that was part of, you know, I don't think Paul and I really ever, you know, we just know from our experience that we typically go, you know, cranes get erected on Saturdays and Sundays, so we want to leave that option open, you know. But I certainly am willing, you know, to work with the neighbors in good faith, and, you know, I think I can make it work, but that's all I'm saying is I think I can make it work. And what is my recourse if I can't make it work? You know, am I going to lose time? Because then I am, you know, it's kind of a tough position to be off the cuff,
right?
You know, just say, yeah, I'm willing to give it up. You know what I mean?
No, we hear you.
It's a hard thing. I just, you know, it's a $75 million project that I have to get done in a certain amount of time. And, you know, right now, because of unknown things in the soil that we, you know, we hit rock we couldn't get through with our soil anchors. We weren't getting proof tests pulled coming up to strength, so I got 2 weeks behind. Then I couldn't bring in my next drill rig, you know, a week late. Now I'm 3 weeks behind, and I'm trying to make up time right now. And, you know, then, you know, there's traffic constraints, there's noise constraints, there's all these variables, you know, so it's, I'm trying to, you know, keep everybody informed. And seriously, I haven't had any complaints or calls about my project. And I know that there's three of them next to me, and, you know, it's not Unico, you know, making all this noise.
So you're not planning to use one of the Sundays in the near future?
I'm not.
So I'm wondering, colleagues, if it might be, since you haven't had any communication with the neighbors, if we might set this over so that you can have some dialogue as to what's reasonable.
That would be great. I would love to. I mean, if I can keep them informed, or if there's, like I said, if there's a different way, you know, that I can inform the neighbors, especially this group, you know, I'm more than happy to keep them in the loop. It's very easy.
Yeah, it sounds like a good suggestion because, you know, we often use mediation. In situations
right.
where neighbors aren't getting along. In this case, it sounds like we've got people of goodwill that are trying to get to the same result. And this very formal process is one way to resolve it, but might not be the only way. So if it didn't work a hardship on your construction schedule in the next few weeks to have that kind of mediation take place, I'm inclined in the same direction as you just heard from Commissioner Fritz.
Yeah, with the tower crane set on December 2nd, you know, there's not going to be the next thing that would have been a Saturday or Sunday would be the probably the man material hoist installation. But that's going to be probably, I would guess, in February or March. So there's not going to be any Saturday or any Sunday work at least until March,
and
even possibility of it.
Yeah.
If we set this over, sir, for a couple of months, you could represent to us that you will not be invoking this this variance for Sunday work during that two-month period?
Yeah, well, like, I wish I had my schedule because I would be able to tell you right now. I mean, if the man lifts are not on Sunday, which I don't, I get pretty.
See, that's
I can,
not till February, you know, so we're talking about November, December here. So
yeah, I'm saying there's not going to be Sunday work. Yeah, I could probably cut five of them out.
Well, that's. But it sounds like maybe our best shot is to set this over till January, not February. Set this over to January, give you a chance to have a little further discussion with your neighbors, some of whom you may have been talking to before, some of whom not. But, yeah, my instincts are similar to yours. I think the distance between the parties is less than in many cases that we deal with here.
And then,
we all understand you're trying to do a very complicated thing in a very small space with a lot going on around you. And we have, an extraordinary circumstance, very well said, of a massive amount of high-rise construction in a neighborhood that's half-built or three-quarters built, where a lot of people now live there. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any other cities that's gone through that lately, like we're going through it, maybe Vancouver, B.C., 15 years ago. But it's a tough act for everybody involved. But I think if we could set it over for a couple of months, give you the chance to have some informal mediation with Mr. Van Orden, perhaps as a resource, because he's a good one.
I would suggest some formal mediation with Resolutions Northwest to come in. And also, in the meantime, that there would be a bright line that of no Sunday work, because you said that that's in your plans anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I notify so many people of what's going on all the time, with it's the city franchise utilities, city utilities, BDS, Paul, Kathy, the neighbors, owners, so many people. It's really no problem to add, concerned neighbors into the mix. So.
Right. I'm just thinking over the holiday season, if we could be assured that Sundays would be quiet.
Holiday season, so Thanksgiving, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, no work, job sites closed. Christmas, 25th, 26th. I think that's a 4-day week in there. Basically, I'm taking that off too, so I'm not working over the weekends on those.
But we're setting this over based on your representation that in this calendar year there will be no Sunday work.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, Mayor. This has been an extraordinary hearing because it's A, so rare that we get these, and B, even Paul teed it up by saying there may be some code changes and other things we want to consider. Could we take a moment before the end of this hearing, just to compile a list of each commissioner's concerns and figure out who's going
to
address them between now and when we come back?
Yeah, well, I have a couple that I've already noted. One is just perhaps some antiquated terminology and definitions in our code.
We should have Mr. Van Orden come up.
Yeah, come on up, Paul.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. One's, some code work.
We're going to give a rebuttal for Mr.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll give him a chance to come back up, but just in terms of noting what we, outside of this process, what we're going to work on, sounds like the definitions of within the code might need some work, because the...
Relative to EX zoning?
Yeah, the assumption that EXD zoning is industrial is not the case in a lot of parts of the city, and when that code was written, we didn't really have a conception of mixed-use, high-density urban neighborhoods, and now we do. So maybe we need to catch up a bit there. It's a management issue more for me, I think, but I also have a note about, our police officers and how they're responding to these kinds of complaints. Granted, on a weekend when we have the entertainment district with noise complaints every night and you're there till 2 a.m., lots of Saturday nights, There's challenges in dealing with noise issues elsewhere in the city. But how they respond is something I want to look into myself, but that's not necessarily a code issue for the council.
Mayor, I have a couple, and some of these are actually born of just not understanding this process as well as I should. One is whether we should provide, as of right, an appeal of these kinds of matters to the Noise Control Board, particularly in those instances where it would get a more prompt resolution, because our agenda is harder to schedule. So do we want to put that into the code and either make it mandatory or at the discretion of the appellant? That's a legal question. Two is the kinds of notices we give. And Commissioner Fritz, you probably already know this, but, in some apartment buildings, for example, there's turnover. And so is the burden placed on the Anderson to remain, figure out who lives in the area, or might it go to the managing agent of a building that in turn puts up a notice in a public space on the, in the elevator, front door, notices under each door. I mean, I think I'm just curious who is in the best position to give this notice, because people do move in and out, in which case it could become stale, whatever list you have, if it's by unit. Number three, I'm still unsure about what's the impact under our code of the cumulative impact of these kinds of things in a tight geographic area. We do generally recognize that saturation has a different impact than just a one-off. So is there a point in which just the fact that there's so much activity in a tight space, does it change the way we look at these? And on the question of a one-year variance with the discretion of the applicant to choose, you know, Sunday work, I wonder whether we need to be more prescriptive than that so that it's less open-ended and there's more predictability for folks, whatever the arrangement is. And it resonates with me, the idea that this is Sunday, because my colleagues and I typically work 7-day weeks. You get a weekend that you actually get to sleep in and have with your family. That's called a cherished time. And if I knew that day there was a rock concert next door, I mean, I might have a strong feeling about that. And so I think there is a difference between, I think we have to balance Paul's goal of creating some flexibility and not having him involved in every single application versus predictability for the folks who live in the area. And I think we have to find a way to strike that balance. But I have to say, had you not brought this to our attention, we would not be discussing these issues today. So we thank you for appealing this. So and to Paul for encouraging us to ask these questions.
Okay, everybody got everything noted for Paul?
No, not yet.
So go ahead.
Going to Commissioner Fisher's out of turn. I share some of those concerns and echo that Commissioner Fisher's point that but for this coming to council, we would not have known. So I'm a little concerned about administrative decision appeals going only to the noise board. I think that there should be an opportunity for concerned citizens to bring things directly to council, especially since there's so few of them. Maybe a double appeal, since it's not a land use case. There isn't an appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals. Maybe the initial appeal is to the noise board, but then there's an opportunity for a further appeal to council if there's a policy question that we need to grapple with. I do believe that we need to very rapidly start posting on the site the variances, as you mentioned, Paul. We post for erosion control and for various other construction-related issues. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to post the variance and the contact information as soon as possible. Regarding notice for apartments, I think we do need to get a little more prescriptive. Good point, Commissioner Fish, about residents coming and going and not necessarily getting the mail that's directed to a previous occupant of an apartment. However, just posting it on a notice board that some people may or may not go to that common area doesn't seem to be adequate either.
And I just, having seen, been inside a number of buildings in this neighborhood, you know, for example, in a condo association, they might actually put notices under each door. Mm-hmm. There's someone whose job it is might be to do that. It also may depend on the managing agent of a rental building. It doesn't seem to me to be unduly burdensome to at least consider whether we put the burden on the managing agent.
I think that's fine.
It just needs to be, including putting under people's doors rather than sending through the mail.
Yes, it needs to be prescriptive, put it under the, on or under the door, rather than just post a notice on the bulletin board, which people may or may not see.
Okay.
I would like there to be clearer direction in the code. Or is what was in the variance, is that listed in code somewhere? The criteria for when you approve variances.
That's in the code, those conditions.
So, to me, I appreciated the neighbor's bright line of there's no work on Sundays. So if there is to be work on Sundays, there needs to be a very clear rationale that you compare it with, not just the neighborhood that the construction company is requested to work on Sundays. And I think that as we grow more dense, as we have more construction going on, having a day of the week set aside where people don't have to think about are they going to need to take a trip to the coast in order to get away from the noise or from various other things is reasonable, and I appreciate your saying that, you know, it is overtime and you don't want your staff working on every day of the week either. So I think it's part of, to me, being a civilized society that it's the exception, not the rule, that you get to work on Sundays for particular reasons. I think that's most of my list for right now.
Mr. Fritz, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Should we get an annual report that details either aggregate data or highlights variances for which there was a follow-up violation, or is there some kind of reporting that would be useful for the council to get on some frequency?
Yes, and I think in the past we have had the noise review board folks come to give us an annual report.
Yeah, it's been a while since they've done anything very regular, but it's definitely something that if the council is amenable, I think it'd be a great thing.
I always appreciate it when citizens put in a lot of volunteer time having a regular report, whether it's annual, biennial, or whatever. I think the last time we had one was when there was a lot of issues with airport noise. Now, this particular
categories,
issue.
Categories, even if, I mean, it's like the way you started this proceeding, Paul, saying, here's the context. I welcome guidance and input on these questions. Having the citizen board here saying, these are the different categories of complaints we're getting. These are the challenges we see. Here's where we think you may want to take a clean up your code or look at some. I think that would be very helpful.
Yeah,
also, maybe. I think it's validating to their experience that they get a chance to come and.
Maybe a good time to do that is just when we dive into some of these issues that the council's listed here. So.
Yeah.
Okay, other questions or things to note with Paul, and then I want to give Mr. Vanetti a chance to come back up. So stand by, Paul, and Mr. Vanetti, come on back if you'd like, because we, even though this is a little unconventional here, because we had this little colloquy between the council and Paul, we still want to give you the chance to rebut what you've heard and also, you know, again, to be a little less formal to react to what you've heard in terms of a suggestion from the council that we perhaps set this over, have a little mediation over the next couple months with the assurance that there's not going to be any Sunday work while that's going on. What do you think of that suggestion and any other reactions that you might have? Again, this has partly been a tutorial for the council as well as an appeal hearing, so thanks for your patience with that.
Yeah, thank you. I'm definitely open for more communication. I would prefer that there's some sort of third party, not just the noise people. I have a couple things I'd like to say, and I also would really love to play a video. I have a very short video if I
work.
Can get that
sure.
to work. I just wanted to address some things that Anderson said. They said we don't want to shine a light in people's windows. We've had a light from the Overton lock shining in our window since they started. He also said that they're pretty quiet. Well, right about now, from my observation, it seems like there's no more than 10 or maybe at the most like 20 people on site. When that thing starts going up, they're going to have teams of contractors and subcontractors coming in there who would love to work on Sunday because they get time and a half. And so they're happy to come in and make noise, and they don't care about the community because they don't live here. That's often been the case with other construction sites in the area. Also, Anderson will cry poor and say, we're going to lose millions of dollars. This is taking a lot of money. That's private interest. It's not interest of the citizens. I realize it's a problem, and I realize that as an individual, the employee that works for Anderson is under a lot of stress because they have the owners breathing down their necks and the people that are above him breathing down his neck. So it creates stress for him, which then transfers into getting the job done, which then transfers into stress on the citizens in the area. And I want to point out, how many times did you have to ask Anderson, like, hey, can you give us an answer about this? Can you give us an answer about this? Imagine if you had to call us the cell phone or the hotline or try to talk to somebody like through distances or it gets harder and harder and harder. My email exchange is a good example. And then they say, oh, I didn't know this was about Sundays. I should have brought my schedule. Does anyone take this seriously? No, they don't take it seriously. Anderson is not taking this seriously, but I appreciate that they're saying we want to talk now and take it seriously, because we want to take it seriously too, and we do want to have a relationship and a positive one. But the last thing I want to ask is, you heard Anderson say, yeah, we told you we were going to be there at 5 a.m. and we were going to be doing this work at 5 a.m. And I want to know, is that legal? Is that legal? Is that, it's outside the ordinance as far as I can tell, and it's outside of the variance. So for them to be there at 5 a.m. doing loud work, which they said, yeah, we did that, and they've been telling us we're going to be doing it, and we'll let you know when we're going to be doing that. Is that legal? And that's what I'd like to play on the video, is the work that I'm referring to, so that you can just get a kind of an idea for what we're talking about. I think it might be the 14th. Oh, no, that's it, yeah. And can we have volume?
I don't know why that's not.
Well, I'm going to ask that you watch this video. It's called October 16th, and it has audio, and you can see the video now. But this is them bringing in a flatbed, and this is the hoe that he was talking about. The engine was broken, and so, you know, they're firing up engines. Ah, there we go. And in the background there, you can see the Parker Apartments. I mean, it's within earshot. If I yelled, you could hear me if I was calling up to a window. Note the time, 5:32 a.m. This is just one site. It's just one of many, many construction sites in our neighborhood. And so I would love to talk more with the construction companies. I would love to do it with mediation. And I think that you just heard Anderson saying, "No, yeah, we did that, and we'll let you know when we're going to do it again." So I'm asking, is that legal? Is that a legal activity, what we were just watching? Is that something that the police should have stopped? When I called, they said, we're not going to deal with it. Is that something, Paul, maybe you could answer? Was that a legal activity? Is that part of the variance?
We'll ask Paul to come back up.
I'm not sure. And so I don't know. I can't tell because I can't get educated well enough based on what I, you know, the websites and those folks and these folks. Everyone's got a different thing. So I'd love to know.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. And the group that I suggested do the mediation, Resolutions Northwest, is an independent group, not part of the city government.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you. Paul, come respond. So, yeah, was that a permitted activity at 5:30 in the morning?
Not likely. So one of the things that I intoned early in the staff report is that we have been, fortunately, with the move to ONI, in a position where we're able to do a lot more enforcement and to use tools that weren't open to us at BDS. And so one of the interesting things is that we have really pushed the envelope under the guidance of Amalia, our director, to empower citizens with being able to keep track of things. David, we've helped to work with David to help give him the opportunity to get videos to us. So one of the things I haven't been able to do is conclusively analyze this and feel that I have a strong enough case to issue a citation. It's possible that we would. The challenge is going to be for a video that a citizen has taken, I need to conclusively be able to say to the code hearings officer that I could note that the decibel levels that I showed earlier for the code are being exceeded for the nighttime hours. So
Paul, that's the legal standard, but if you have a good faith reason to believe that something is happening outside of the permit, you can also just communicate that to Anderson and say,
Yes, most definitely.
Tell you did they or did they not, and are they clear about the parameters and short of a code proceeding?
Yes, so we have made quite a few site visits to the location at odd hours, especially the new noise inspector who works with me. And so we've tried to intone when we see something happening that it's in excess of the code or to say be careful about pushing the envelope with operations of this nature because they're likely to violate the code.
And that what we just saw did not appear to me, not that I'm a construction expert, but didn't look like concrete pouring.
No, absolutely not. So the challenge is with an operation of this nature, the code doesn't just simply delineate absolutely no construction. It delineates you can't exceed the code outside of the construction hours. So what we've done a wonderful job at ONI at doing is being able to push the envelope and use my professional judgment to say that, yes, I feel that operation of grinding on metal, for instance, would be something that you would not be able to comply at 5:30 in the morning at the neighboring homes that are in the area. So we haven't issued a citation for this yet. It's possible that we would, but I can report one of the slides I was going to pull up and didn't is that since we've moved to ONI, we have processed a notable increase in citations to fix these problems because ultimately what I mentioned earlier is the biggest challenge in fixing these issues is not just simply issuing variances and improving notification. The reality is the hard-learned lesson for me in 25 years doing environmental law enforcement is if you don't have the tools to enforce, then these guys may be really cooperative, but the reality is, and I think David had intoned this, if the penalties aren't significant enough, then where are we going to get compliance? So I think the interesting note is if we do wind up issuing a citation for this, that'll probably actually be more effective than another conversation. Not to say that we've had too many conversations with Anderson, but more so the concept of having enforcement as a tool that really helps to bring things into compliance.
What do you think in this instance that the mediation effort for a month or two is worthwhile?
I do. I think the interesting note that definitely gets hidden in our dialogue today that I wanted to make sure I chatted about is I'm in this unique position where I've dealt with almost every nightclub in the city, almost every construction site in 18 years that's of a significant size, almost every major utility project. And what I know is likely to happen, and I'm not pointing fingers at Anderson, I'm saying that it's just been my professional experience, is these projects, whether it's TriMet, whether it's Anderson, whether it's the city, and honestly, frankly, often the city is one of the more challenging ones to navigate. You have so many different subcontractors on a project that as great a job as Brian's going to do to get the word out to subcontractors, somebody's going to drop the ball. And so I want to make sure that we are empowering Brian as much as possible and the neighbors when that happens, because I think even between now and our date that we return to council, depending on what point they are in the construction, the complexity, we may have so many different entities coming in and out of the project that David spelled it out when he said, we have seen this happen again and again on projects that their best efforts still potentially fall apart because there's so much complexity.
You've raised another question that I want to put on the list for your to-do list. If sawing through metal at 5:30 in the morning is not currently banned, it should be. So we need to be very clear about our standards for quiet time in the city of Portland.
So we could hypothetically change the code to simply say these are the construction hours, which would make it easier for Portland police officers. It would probably be an element that the board would open up for a dialogue to make sure that all of the stakeholders involved say that's not reasonable, that is reasonable. It would definitely make life easier for me from an enforcement perspective. So that's definitely something.
Right. And that there may be some things that one could do at 5:30 in the morning, like gluing things together that wouldn't necessarily be impactful to neighbors. But there's probably a number of things, hammering and sawing and other such things, that shouldn't be allowed before 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. So I think we may be at a point where we need a motion in terms of.
I think we're just setting it over.
Right. Do you want me to just do that by order, and then we will direct some things to happen? So would you like to respond, Brian? Sure, go ahead. Come on.
So I understood that part of this ordinance was allowing us to bring in equipment earlier, like the lowboy equipment that needs to come in to take this track hoe out. So what he was filming was a vertical piece of angle that was supporting a steel cable around a 30-foot excavation that we could not leave open or it's a fall hazard. So the track hoe was sitting inside the excavation. They were chopping that off so they could drop the line, flag it off, and contain it so that no one would get into that area and move the equipment out. We have hard steel angles around the entire site welded on top of the pile. So that's what they were cutting off. That's not, you know, a typical thing, but we can't leave a safety hatch, so we could not cut that off and just leave it unexposed
overnight. Why did
they
have to do it at 5:30 in the morning?
Because that's when the track hoe and the truck came, and they were moving the hoe over the manifold that's the dewatering system and the railing.
That's not one of the things that you're permitted to do under your variance. You're permitted to do an early morning concrete pour.
I'm permitted to move vehicles in and out, heavy equipment in and out of the project before 7 o'clock under this variance is what I was understood.
I don't see that it says that. So anyway, Paul will look into that. It doesn't seem to me to say that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that, you know, I'm going to go around cutting steel posts off at 5 o'clock, but that's, I just wanted to explain that particular instance. It was to get that post out of the way and not leave a fall or safety hazard until that time. So, okay. And another thing is there was no light shining up you saw the video, there's no light shining in anyone's window on that job site right there. And I feel as if that this the appellant is trying to is making construction or as generalization as not caring and wanting to do things that are, you know, that are not within the boundaries, and I don't appreciate that because that is not the case at all. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So what I'm going to suggest that we do is that we're going to continue this item until the first council meeting in January. During now and that point, we will take an assurance, which we've received here, that there won't be any work on Sundays during that time. Expect the noise office to enforce that understanding. And then during that time, we'll ask Resolutions Northwest to conduct a mediation here. Because again, I think even though perhaps there's some understandable hard feelings and tensions here in the room, it seems to me that there's some people of goodwill that might be able to get to some understanding between them with the help of a good mediator. This is a difficult situation. Again, you got a complicated, an enormously complicated construction process in a very small space in the middle of a city. And, you know, I think my job's hard sometimes, but I think yours is harder. So that's a challenge for you and anybody else doing this. But we're also in a city where we want to live close together. I mean, that's why people have chosen to live in this neighborhood. And so it's a tough balance for all of us. You know, people need to accommodate each other in ways that if we were much more spread out, we wouldn't have to think about. But we do. And I loved your line about ordinary consideration in extraordinary circumstances. I think that's what we're trying to get to here, is that you ought to have the right to a peaceful enjoyment of your neighborhood as best as we can manage, even in the extraordinary circumstance of building it around you. And that's a challenge. So I think it's going to be, you know, difficult to deal with this issue again and again and again across the city, because even when we're done building out the Pearl District, we're not done building a dense urban place. So we may be having more of these hearings in the future if we don't get it right. But I do want to ask that we take that approach for the next roughly 60 days.
Mayor, what's your expectation with respect to the questions we frame for Paul, some of which will require him to get together with City Attorney's Office and just give us some options?
My staff and I will track that, since Paul is part of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and we'll take that list of council concerns and get to work on that, and perhaps, again, might even have council work session or some other opportunity to come together with the board.
And just speaking for myself, if we were to get a written memo addressing the issues with some preliminary options and some feedback, I would consider that satisfactory before.
Okay.
And that gives us a sense to know where we should focus our attention, what's feasible, what isn't.
Yeah.
But just the initial roadmap in writing would be helpful.
Now, could we make it the second week of January, please?
Okay. So ordered. So if that's, I hope everyone is clear on that. So we're going to continue this item until the second week of January. In the meantime, we're going to take an assurance from the contractor that there's not going to be any Sunday work, and we're going to expect that to be adhered to by Anderson and responded to by the noise office if for some reason that's violated. And in the meantime, we'll ask Resolutions Northwest to get these parties together and see if we can come to perhaps a modification of the permit as proposed or as allowed under the variance that's in front of us, and we'll see what you come back with.
Do we need to set a time certain for setting it over?
Wouldn't hurt. We've got a time certain available in January.
I have you all set here. It's 2 p.m. January 14th.
Okay. I hope that works for everyone. And that's what we'll do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's very helpful.
Everybody.
Mayor, could we please read the titles for the next two items? Because
yep.
They're land use, I think we have to be particular about
that. Need to
that.
Do that in order to postpone them? Okay.
Correct. Item 1128, consider the proposal of Sam Rodriguez, Mill Creek Residential Trust, LLC, and the recommendation from the hearings office for approval to change the comprehensive plan map designation from high density multi-dwelling to central commercial and the zoning map designation from RHD, high density multi-dwelling residential with design overlay zone to CXD, central commercial with design overlay zone for property in the vicinity of Southwest 20th and 19th Avenues and Southwest Main and Madison Streets.
Okay.
LU, 14105474 CPZC and 1129, amend the comprehensive map plan designation and amend the code, the zoning map for the property in the vicinity of Southwest 20th and 19th Avenues and Southwest Main and Madison Streets at the request of Sam Rodriguez, Mill Creek Residential Trust, LLC. Those are postponed to December 4th, 2 p.m. time certain.
That's it. December 4th, 2 p.m. So ordered, and we're adjourned. Thank you.